Deuteronomy chapter 4.
Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor. For the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal of Peor. But you, who held fast to the Lord your God, are alive today, every one of you. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it, as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him? And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself, and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. Then you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire to the midst of heaven, with darkness, cloud, and thick darkness. And the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the sound of the words, but saw no form. You only heard a voice. So we declare to you his covenant which he commanded you to perform, the Ten Commandments, and he wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at the time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might observe them in the land which you will cross over to possess. Take careful heed to yourselves, for you saw no form when the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you act corruptly and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on earth, or the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, or the likeness of any fish that is in the water beneath the earth. And take heed, lest you lift your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the hosts of heaven, you feel driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord your God has given to all the peoples under the whole heaven as a heritage. But the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be his people, an inheritance, as you are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, and swore that I would not cross over the Jordan, and that I would not enter the good land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not cross over the Jordan, but you shall cross over and possess that good land. Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. When you beget children and grandchildren and have grown old in the land, and act corruptly, and make a carved image in the form of anything, and do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days in it, but will be utterly destroyed. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him, if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul, when you are in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days. when you turn to the Lord your God and obey His voice. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which He swore to them. For ask now concerning the days that are past, which were before you since the day that God created man on the earth, and ask from one end of heaven to the other, whether anything like this has happened, or anything like it has been heard. Did any people ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as you have heard, and live? Or did God ever try to go and take for himself a nation from the midst of another nation, by trials, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and by great terrors, according to that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? To you it was shown, that you might know that the Lord himself is God. There is none other besides him. Out of heaven he let you hear his voice, that he might instruct you. On earth he showed you his great fire, and you heard his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their descendants after them. And he brought you out of Egypt with his presence, with his mighty power, driving out from before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in, to give you their land as an inheritance, as it is this day. Therefore know this day, and consider it in your heart, that the Lord himself is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. There is no other. You shall therefore keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God is giving you for all time. Then Moses set apart three cities on this side of the Jordan toward the rising of the sun, that the manslayer might flee there who kills his neighbor unintentionally, without having hated him in time past, and that by fleeing to one of these cities he might live. Bezer in the wilderness, on the plateau for the Reubenites, Ramoth in Gilead for the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan for the Manassites. Now this is the law which Moses set before the children of Israel. These are the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Moses spoke to the children of Israel after they came out of Egypt, on this side of the Jordan, in the valley opposite Beth Peor, in the land of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon, whom Moses and the children of Israel defeated after they came out of Egypt. And they took possession of his land and the land of Og, king of Bashan, two kings of the Amorites, who were on this side of the Jordan toward the rising of the sun, from Aroer, which is on the bank of the river Arnon, even to Mount Sion, that is, Hermon, and all the plain on the east side of the Jordan as far as the Sea of Araba, below the slopes of Pisgah.
The very first verse tells you what the whole book of Deuteronomy is all about. And it says there, statutes and judgments. Now, as we read these things, an awful lot of people have a hard time, in the Christian world, I would say, to understand that these are the statutes not of Moses, but of Elohim, the statutes of Yahweh, Yahuwah. The word statute means, basically, it means a statute itself, but also an ordinance that's limited. What it basically based on to is something that's pre-described task. Something that God has pre-described, and now there is a task involved within that pre-described task. And basically the meaning of what we would call law or ordinances or statutes. It's an action that is pre-described. God is requiring action to take place. Several of the laws or statutes that God talks about requires a action to take place. Remember, Hebrew is an action based language. Verb based first, and then you find out what happens or what you should do, but it's a big verb based language first, and all words come from a verb before they come into a noun. All nouns come from a verb. Unlike English, we are a noun based language. We start with a noun, then we find out what the noun is doing or what the noun is. And Hebrew starts out with a verb. Then it tells you what it's referring to. All right? Referring to a thing or a person or an act or someone doing something. Or something is happening. And it tells you what is bringing about that action. So it's action first, then you find out what took place. In our own world, you know, and growing up as you were a child, you saw your mom and dad do things first, right? So it's an action verb that's taking place first. You didn't know, but you knew they did something. You looked, oh, they did something. What did they do? You're looking at, you know, first time your child decides to see you eating food, they see you doing something. And then all of a sudden the child says, okay, what they doing? They don't understand it. They don't know what the word means. They don't know what's going on. But they see an action taking place. Now they want to be part of that action, right? So it's part of human nature. I hate to use that word, but it's how God has created mankind to really respond to what is happening. Now, to just one more statement here. When Adam was to name the animals, what did he have to name them? Did God give him the names? No. He saw the animals do something, and then he called them by what they were doing. Simple thing. Why is a fly called a fly? Because it flies. Therefore, it's called a fly. Okay. Why didn't it call anything else? Because it does something. It flies. Okay, now it's got a noun being fly, so it's a verb as well as a noun word. And when you really stop and think about the word fly. I'm sorry, what? Keep them to yourself. And judgments, now remember, statutes on judgments. Judgment is referring to, basically, to carrying out an action. To proceed forth in carrying out something that a judge has said. The word judgment, even in Hebrew, comes from the word he who judges. So judgment, someone who's talking makes a statement, they're making a judgment. It's an action, a verb. And now, you see, it must be carried out. So judgment is something that's carried out. Now we have statutes, which tells you what the laws are. Then there is called judgments. Now they're carrying out the acts that are within the statutes. Simple as that, right? I'm sorry, what? Oh, the judgment carries out the actions of the statute. Now remember, judgment is not always negative. Sometimes it's in your favor, right? You go before a regular judge in our country, and sometimes a judgment is in favor of what took place for you, not against you. So judgment is not always negative and positive. It has both negative and positive in it. And statutes also have negative and positive to it, because some statutes are downright tough. Others are for your benefit and for your good. All right? Now, with that being said, verse 2, what's the simplicity of verse 2? Don't add a word to it. Don't take a word away from it. Key word is the word. Don't change the law. Don't put a clause in there to add a word to override Devarim Elohim. That's what basically this is all about. Now, when one begins to look at the Torah It does seem full of rules, laws, do's, don'ts, rituals, and in a sense that it seems to involve only other people of the house of Israel. It doesn't really involve someone who is not of the house of Israel, because this is what the book is referring to. When you walk across and go over to the Jordan, he's talking to the house of Israel, and then we come through, and he says, Biddy, also look at the Old Testament, or the Tanakh, that the Tanakh is a history. I want to make very, very clear. It is not a history book. And the reason why it's not a history book, just take a look at what's going on. What does the Tanakh do? There is no dates. There are no events in chronological order, that is, in time set order. It is written in a series of events. These events teach us what Elohim, Yahuwah, wants us to learn. So every event, that's why events are not chronological order. There's an event here, an event here, an event here. Sometimes there's three events in a row that are not in time sequence at all. It tells you a story here, told you a story here, told you a story here, and the fourth story tells you, did you look back here and here and here and understand why the fourth one has been said? We've gone that through. You know, Daniel explained that pretty well. But basically, we look at this thing and we say, okay, we want what we're doing, what the Torah does. It teaches you and teaches me what, not what we do, in a sense, because human beings don't have it within them to do what God wants them to do. They have a tendency to go contrary to what God wants, or just ignore it. Right? It really learns of how He, Elohim, sees things, and how He, Elohim, does things. So it's an action of what we see. Very first verse in the Bible is what? Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim va'et ha'aretz. First thing we see is an action taking place. Something's been created. Who did the creating? Elohim. What did he create? Et hashamayim, the heavens, va'et, and the earth. It's very simple, it's a very perfect sentence, because it's perfect seven words in Hebrew. It's a perfect sentence. So we look at this thing. We say, okay. Now verse 6, dropping down. Keep therefore, I've got the old King James version, so if you've got a different version, that's okay. It's still the same thing. I like the old King James because I've studied 1611 English. I know what the words meant in 1611. What they mean today is entirely different, almost entirely different than they do mean what they meant in 1611. Well, that's another story. He says, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom, your understanding, in the sight of the nations, or in sight of other people. So there's a really positive advance to know what the statutes and judgments are. Now, Apostle James, he said something. Do you remember what he said? You who lack, ask. Guess what the answer is? Statutes and judgments. Go back to the Torah, and God will grant you understanding of those statutes and those judgments. We as human beings need the power of the Creator of heaven and earth to open up our eyes and to open up our ears and open up our mind and open up our heart to see and understand. That's why you must ask for it and never, ever take it for granted. Okay? Okay. Let me continue here. I'm only hitting some highlights here. Verse 9 says, you know, he says, take heed and keep thy soul diligently, diligently, lest you forget things. So that's what we must do. We must diligently, not just once in a while, not just now and then, not just when holy days come up, not just on Yom Kippurim, or what's the other one? Rosh Hashanah, but all of it. As I said before, and you've heard me say it before, we sometimes as human beings, because that's what we are, we like to live by a word of Elohim, but not words of every Elohim. And what did Messiah say? He quoted right out of Deuteronomy, 16th chapter. Every word. So we don't pick and choose. Remember the very first part. Do not take away word of Devarim, and do not put a word that Devarim didn't say. So we read these things, that this is what Devarim, Elohim, said. Therefore, I'm going to listen to what he says and not pay attention to what I think. Lean not to your own understanding. We've heard that, right? Book of Proverbs. Don't lean, don't interpret it, don't try to think you understand God. You have to ask him. He is the one that grants wisdom. He is the one that grants understanding. And the book of Proverbs, there is it there, it says, in all of your getting, get understanding. And the only way you're going to come to understand the kind of understanding that Elohim is referring to, God is referring to, of course, is his statutes and his judgments. Basic, fundamental. And what's the beginning of knowledge? The fear of the Lord. Well, I'm not afraid of him. Then you have no knowledge. It doesn't work. And verse 10, it talks about this, and I'm going to paraphrase this, not paraphrase, but explain this one. For some of you, I know all of you know this, but I want to kind of reiterate it again. Concerning the day thou stood before Yahuwah, thy Elohim in Horoph. What day was that? Shavuot. Which also in Greek is Pentecost. So what took place is you stood before this place and you saw a fire. Fire. I think it was a pretty hot fire. And we'll explain this as we keep on going. The first thing that the creator of heaven and earth, thy and three Yahuwah, rather, is that he set them on blaze. He set them on fire. First thing he said to them and shown them was fire. Right? Now, I know that we all have been kind of influenced by a different picture. Verse 15, drop down there real quick. Take ye therefore good heed to yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude, excuse me, on the day that Yahuwah spoke to you in Horoph, out of the midst of the fire. I find it kind of amazing, to the honest truth, and it's because of, you know, what people see on movies and things like that, and they kind of picture that Moses was the only one up there to see anything. Moses, the only one that saw fire. Moses, the only one that heard anything. Although here in the book of Deuteronomy, it says, you heard the voice. And you saw the fire. Now, if you were there, how would you respond? Honest question. Huh? Fear. He frightened them so much. Have you ever been so scared to death? It's a phrase, I know. that you didn't know when to talk back because, oh, you're so, this guy, this person, or whatever it is so terrifying. All you care, what are they doing? What are they doing? What are they going to do? What are they going to do? What are they saying? What are they, and you don't think about running. You're just standing there, you're terrified because something's going to happen. You don't have time to think. All you have to do is hear, 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 hear. And what do they hear? Commandments. I'll talk about commandments a little later on. It's a different word than statutes and judgments. We'll get to there in a minute. Okay. Yeah, one, there's two things that fire does. I'm sorry, what? Okay. What is the object of being, and he said, you were in a, we read it, right? I sent you into a iron furnace. Do you think that furnace has had no heat? Had a lot of heat. What was he burning? What is the dross? It's been 40 years at this particular point in time, so that furnace has been going on and damn hot for 40 years of their life. It's a long time for a furnace, right? A long time to be in the furnace, right? Very long time. So some of us may think, well, I understand what God wants to do. I'm sure glad I'm out of the fire. Well, you know, the rest of your life you're in it. I don't mean the rest of your life, but a lot of things have to be burnt up. And what has to be burnt up? Well, let's take a look. When we look at this chapter from verse 15 to verse 16, we see something, and then there's a warning there, okay? And we're getting down now to verse, let's just go over here. It says, for verse 15 to 16, addresses making something. What does it tell you? What does he tell you not to make? I'm sorry, what? Any kind, whether it's in heaven, right? On the earth, or in the sea. Now, we are human beings, aren't we? Let me tell you that. But we have a tendency, we need to see things with our eyes, and we have a picture that says, oh, I know what, okay, I'm going to take a calf that resembles God. I have to have identification, I have to see something, I have to touch something, I have to feel something, I have to hear something before, well, stone doesn't talk, does it? Well, I have to invent words that the stone says, right? Now you're adding words to the statue, which are not there. Right? So he says, do not do this. And so that was what they had to burn up. That's what he was burning up. The first thing was, how often has he had to do this with them? Quite a bit, right? They also had all their ideas of, oh, I want this to eat. Lust of the flesh. What did they get? Oh, they got flesh. They got something to eat, all right? But it made them sick. And a lot of them died. Ah, wrong picture. So that was a furnace. That was on fire. Something happened in Baal Peor. What took place there? You remember? So what? Baal Peor, no. Baal Peor, Balaam, he managed to have them do something. What did he have them manage to do? The book of Revelation talks about it, right? Commit fornication. What happened? God sent forth a plague and killed them. That's fire. That's what God says, I am a consuming fire. We say, oh, no, you're not. You're nice, you're wonderful, you're kind, you're full of love, you're full of compassion. Yeah, but I got to burn up all this stuff. Then you will see what I really am like. So when I said this is an action of what how God sees things and what God is doing. We have a tendency because we are human beings, and we are human beings, you can't get out of that picture. We focus in on what human beings are doing. We focus in on what the Israelites did. We focus in on what the Israelites didn't do. We focus in on, you know, the golden calf, what they did. But we're not, the subject matter here is not them. In the book of Deuteronomy, it's about the statutes and judgments of Elohim. We see and hear and watch what he does. It's a show and tell story. All of the Tanakh, from Genesis all the way to the end of I'm just only talking the Torah section of it, not the talk. Daniel does the other part. And then Jeff comes in and does another part. But nonetheless, we're seeing actions and deeds that God does. So when we respond, this is very careful we get there, when we respond to what God's doing, something's going to happen to us. What's the promise? If we do not take away a word, you will be called wise. Oh, I have been called wise in all the years I have walked this earth. You will be called wise because the time is all over with. These people are going to look and say, would you please teach me the word of God? Are you ready for it? Wisdom does not come overnight. Wisdom comes in a lifetime. It doesn't stop. There's a beginning. Remember, everything that begins is small. What did the Lord say? Do not despise small things. That's where I begin with. He begins with small things. Ask yourself a question. Were you a big thing and God decided to work with you? Or were you a small thing and God decided to work with you? You're a small thing, so he's going to work with you. He's going to make you great in the kingdom of God. If, of course, you do not add to Devarim, Elohim, or take away from Devarim, Elohim, you will be called an understanding person. Understands what? Understands what God sees, understands who God is, understands what God wants, and you act upon that. No one is called wise before they do something. Everybody's called wise after the fact, not before. Otherwise, you're a fool. not really. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Now, there's one more thing. In verse 19, he talks about something else. And this is still in the fire. And they're heading into the promised land. They're ready to cross over. Now another warning comes up, and we didn't pay too much attention to it. Now Moses is saying, do not add, do not take away. We've gone through a fire. He is a furnace. He's a fire. He's a consuming God. And he says, verse 19, and least thou lift up thy eyes unto, where? Heaven. Hashemayim. And you see the sun and the moon and the stars and all the hosts of heaven, which is divided to those who worship and serve them, which Yahweh, thy Elohim, has divided. Now, what's this warning? We had a warning. Do not do something. Remember the first warning was? No carved images. Not even in your own mind, in your own heart, in your own soul. Don't mention it. And then there's one more thing. We're talking about the sun and the moon and the stars, which people have a tendency to head for. You know, most of you probably heard of, you know, the rising sun, right? And the moon, moon gods, worshiping the moon, especially the whole full moon. Then you hear about the stars. And of course, you know, it has to be the 12 signs of the zodiac. And probably most of you, I have no idea. I don't want to know. You quote, you probably know what sign you're under, end of quote. That's worshiping the host of heaven. It's the host of heaven. What does that mean, the host? It's another sort of power. There really is power. Book of Daniel. Remember what it says? There were three principalities there. And one of them couldn't get around the other principality because that principality was beating him. And so Michael came and went to his rescue, and he was able to escape behind the line and go tell Daniel, "Oh, most beloved of God, I'm sorry, I was delayed for 21 days. Daniel was in fasting for 21 days. Now, how could you? He was going to, the first day he was going to tell him, and he couldn't. For 21 days, he stopped. So, we know that. Apostle Paul talked about that we fight against what? Principalities of the air. Both in Greek and in Hebrew, that means powers. Mighty powers. And also, there's only one power that is greater than them all. And that is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In verse 20, he says, "I brought you forth out of iron furnace." Now, one more statement, then we'll have you have made comments. It looks like I did a pretty good time here. No, I can't do that. He talks about the covenant that Yahweh has made. And he says, keep it. And I know that, you know, the New Testament comes in the scene that says, you know, a new covenant and the old covenant. It's the method by which it is going to be transplanted. He took them by the hand. Remember we read that in Jeremiah 30:31. And then he says, "I am now going to put my law, my Torah, my statutes, and my judgments in your mind first." Well, that means you have to do some studying. You have to take a look at it. And then it will be transferred into your heart. And you'll want to do it. You'll desire to do it. You'll wish to do it. And that's where I hope most of us are at this point in time. Many feel, well, I'm not of the house of Israel. I'm not of the house of Judah. However, we already read before that one, especially in Exodus, where if a stranger, one is not a member of either one of the families, of any of the houses, if he wishes to join himself to Israel, he becomes Israel, or the house that he has joined himself with. It's like, put it in another simplistic way, it's like someone who was not a Christian, now becomes a Christian. He was not called a Christian, but now he is called a Christian. Why? Because now he believes. Makes sense to you? Same thing, the picturing that the parallel, direct parallel, between the Messiah and you, and at the time of Moses, between the house of Israel and a stranger coming in and want to be part of. Why would they want to be part of it? Because of the statutes and the judgments. That's why. You wouldn't want to come in there if you didn't like them. You stay a stranger. Stay away. Stay away from them. Verse 49. 29, rather. 29. People don't like clauses. Verse 29. This is King James Version. And I emphasize the word. But if from hence, when he sends them out into the four corners of the world, and they start worshiping at Elohim, verse 28, verse, and ye shall serve, and the Hebrew word is, you shall serve another Elohim. Same name as it was the very book, first start of Genesis, right? Elohim created. Or created Elohim. The heavens and the earth. Elohim is a word that is a word meaning one who has multitudes of strengths, of multitudes of power, multitudes of authority. Now, as I explained to anyway, when God, we hear this thing and it says Yahuwah or Yahweh, what do you want to call him, is Echad. Echad does not mean a unity of one, although it can mean. The primary meaning of it is that it's the number one. It's not Aleph. Aleph is number one in the numerical number. Echad means it is number one. And that's the reason why in Genesis, the first day is called Echad. Why is it called Echad? What happened on that day? Let there be light. Life comes from life. Or light. Life comes from life. Does it come from Hoshech? So it's number one. The light is number one. Always will be number one. It's primary. It's the primary one. And we need in, I think it's Apostle Paul. Excuse me if I don't remember. But he said that the name of Yahshua will be preeminent over all. It will be Echad above all. Okay. So he says here, verse 29, you shall seek Yahweh, thy Elohim, thy shalt find him, and if thou shalt seek him with thy whole heart and with all thy soul, guess what? You will be protected. Now, those Greek Hebrew words are very fascinating. In Hebrew, when he has sent you into the land, talk to Israel now, to a people who have no knowledge of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you do, or they did, comes along and he says, now, when you're there and you seek Yahuwah from there. That's a requirement. Wherever they were sent, and wherever you may be sent, wherever you go, you must seek. It's not just, oh, I found him. I think I'll go home and get a beer. I found him. No, you seek him. What are you seeking for? To find out what he sees, find out what he does, find out just who he is. And if you seek for him, something else is required of you. That's step number one. Two. There's three things here. Three things. And he says, now, when you seek him, guess what? It says, translation is, and thou found him, but the Hebrew says, and thy attend to him. Oh, that's different than finding him, right? Oh, I'm seeking him. Now you found him. What are you going to do? You're going to attend to him. What do you attend to? His word, his thought, his actions, his deeds. You're going to attend, act upon, respond to what he is saying. This is what it's all about here in that 39th, 28th chapter of the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy. And the last thing it says, and if you then must look for him. Wait a minute. I found him. I'm attending to him. Now what am I supposed to do? Look to him. All right, simple as that. Simple as that. It's a never-ending process, isn't it? Three things. You seek, you attend, and you look to him. So there's a function in the verb, since this is your action, but has to do sending around just one person, And that's the creator of heaven and earth. And then he says, even in the latter days, when the time comes, and if, here's another one of those clauses, verse 30, and if you turn to Yahuwah, thy Elohim, and shall be obedient to his voice. Now, many of you know it should be Shema. What does Shema mean? Hear and respond. Do what he says to do. In 1611, the word obedience meant the same exact identical phrase in 1611 English. Hear and respond. Now, some of you may have dogs, right? And you give a command to the dog. What does the dog do? He hears and responds. That's how simple that phrase is. It's not obedience, or I'm going to whip you to death. Not obedience, or you're a sinner. Not obedience, or you're wicked. It means hear and respond. When the damsel in the book of Acts, Peter was knocking on the door. Remember, he was outside, he was in prison, knocking on the door. And it says there, plain Greek, she obeyed the door. She was obedient to a door. What did the door command her to do? What do you do when someone knocks on your door? What do you do when they ring the doorbell? You obey the door, or you obey the doorbell because it's telling you something. What's it telling you? Oh, there's somebody on the other side. Now, comical thing, she opened up, saw him, and she closed the door. She almost couldn't. It's unbelievable. Right? That can't be Peter. You know? So sometimes the door when it opens up with God. Sometimes you say, that's not real. Close the door. And tell somebody else. They say, let's go open the door again. And go see for yourself. That's how it is with us in the Word of God. Sometimes he says something, and it's shocking to us. We close the door. We back away. Then we say, maybe I should go open up. What do you say? Remember the book of Revelations? I stand at the door and I knock. Is it a play on words? Or is it the truth? Okay. Okay. Now we'll take any comments. Oh, but verse 40. One more thing here. Talk about there, and it says, you shall keep his statutes. We talked about that already. By the way, the statute comes from a verb, and the verb means to cut out, to cut a decree, to cut and give orders, to cut and to portray something. So as a command, it's an ordinance. That's where the word statute comes from. And now, the word commandment. Now, Hebrew is a very interesting word. What is that Hebrew word for commandment? What does a verb mean? Let's just be quick. She can look it up. It means to command, to charge, to give orders, to lay charge, to give charge to, and order. Now, the Ten Commandments are what they are. He's given you a command. He's given you a charge. He's given you orders. He's given you to lay down, do something. He's given you responsibility. And therefore, the commandments is an ongoing one, is it not? It's a continual process. He commands, thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. That is a continual commandment. And many of you, some of you, may have been in the military, and you know what that means. When the commanding general tells you to do something, what do? You do it. When the function or job is finished, that's the end of the command. Now, when does the Ten Commandments come to an end in your life, in my life? Remember dead and buried in a grave? And to be resurrected into life, eternal life for eternity, that's also over with. Right? The commands then cease to be because they no longer affect you as eternal life. So understand when you talk about the words commandment, you have to be very careful when you read this in English. Sometimes you use the word commandment in and out, out and in and out, out and in. You've got to pay compare. Is this an order or is this a law? Because sometimes in English, sad to say, they twist back and forth because they didn't really understand the words. Okay, any comments? Oh, you're free to talk. This is a very important chapter to me. I rattle on for a while.
Verse 12, you mentioned that this was the similitude, you know, the word similitude came in here. And I was thinking that Moses, you know, when he originally had his apparition, not the right word, the vision or the actual thing of the bush burning, that there was a similitude of the Lord in that bush. And I was thinking that scripture there had something to do with Moses seeing the Lord in the bush.
So you have heard a voice of the words, meaning the commandments, Devarim, Elohim, but saw no similitude, saw nothing similar to it. Now, remember, he's in the future here. He's at the point of entering into the promised land. And they saw no one. All they did was hear. And there's nothing like that. No one's ever seen anything like that. Ever. And appears no one will ever see anything like that again. It's not similar to anything. It's very, very, I hate to use this word, different than any other time. Now, when Moses was talking to the bush, yes, there was fire, but it was a bush. And remember what the voice said to him? I come down when I saw what's happened to my people, and I'm sending you to get them out. I don't want to do that. You go do it anyway. And he says, I have the power. Throw your rod down. Snake, terrified. Back away, run. It's not picking up. Now, I said it before, very fascinating. When people handle deadly snakes, how do they grab them? By the head. What did God command Moses to do? Grab it by its tail. Wow. We're talking, you have power over the most deadliest thing, Moses. It cannot hurt you. Wow. Pretty big story, isn't it? You stop thinking about that. Now, there's a difference between a rod and a staff, but that's the end of the story. Does that kind of answer your question a little bit? It's not the similitude. It's not similar to anything. If they saw nothing, and you can't compare what took place on that mountain with anything. It frightened them. And they were back in. Even they were so scared to death. And after the Ten Commandments were given to them, they said to Moses, I don't want to talk to him anymore. He's frightening. He's going to die of a heart attack. You know? Well, wait a minute. Okay. And God said, they spoke rightly. Moses wanted to stay there. No, they spoke rightly. Because if I keep talking to them, they are going to die. Because he created human beings. People do die of fear, by the way. You've heard they're scared to death. Any more comments? It's an interesting chapter, right? And the fourth chapter now is the beginning of the rest of the story in the book of Deuteronomy. And the key thing that I want to be able to kind of stress again is pay attention very closely to the statutes of judgment because this is the full of it. A tremendous amount of it is in there. This is the law and this is the judgment. And this is the commandment. Three things to go through. And knowing that God will do and carry it out his will. Yes.
I don't know where it was, but where it says God is a consuming fire.
Yep.
And okay, so there's songs out now where Christians are saying consume me, Lord, consume me. And I'm saying, and I'm saying to myself, whoa, you don't know what you're saying.
You don't know what you're saying.
So,
you don't want that kind of fire to come against you, okay? However, you do want the fire, the consuming fire from God to come against you because you want it to clean you up. Now, we know sometimes people think that Jesus was a very soft-spoken individual. Never raised his voice. Very soft. I love you. Love. No, he is a very powerful person. So powerful, they were actually sometimes scared of him enough to kill him. They want him dead. Because he was turning things around. And people would go to him to learn what, not what he was saying. He says, to hear the will of my Father. Always focused. And now, if back in those days, you know, Jeff is bringing out some points. It's very fascinating. That we read something that's in the, like, I don't remember something of Deuteronomy. Matthew or Luke. And there's a statement or two, a word or two, a fruit point. And he goes, takes back to the Torah. This is what the whole thing is all about. Because if you were back then, and a line was being made, a statement made, you knew what it was talking about. Don't believe me? Okay, I'll use a phrase. Go straight to jail do not collect $200. How many people know what that means? That stupid game, right? We all know what it means. You don't have to explain the whole thing of the game of Monopoly to everybody in the sun. Oh, I know what that's all about. It's the same thing when you go through the New Testament. And Jesus uses one or two one-liners. But you got to go back. Is that all? No. He's saying things they are very familiar with. They know, because they didn't have, didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, or the first, they didn't have any of those things. They had what's called the Tanakh. And the primary section of the Tanakh was, of course, the Torah. Any more questions? I got time. I got 5 more minutes. Actually, we started kind of early, so it's kind of nice. I hope we learned something here today. And that the man that I'm sending down to where's Kenya? Right. I've sent him a third one now. He's only responded to one of them. So I don't know whether he's going to accept it or not. But his object was he wants to learn the Torah. He wants to know what the Torah has to say. He wants to be able to live by the Torah. So I introduced to him all the holidays. And he wrote back and he says, I've only heard of two of them. And that is Pentecost and Tabernacles. So opened up the door there. Okay, let's talk about Pentecost. What happened? What is it in Hebrew? I told him about 7 weeks or 7 Sabbaths refers to. And Hebrew is, I told him the Hebrew word is. I phonetically spell it out, and then I also copy the actual Hebrew and put it there. And so now what happened back then was on what's called Pentecost, the Ten Commandments were given. Now it's a direct parallel to the second chapter of Acts. Something else came down. The Spirit of the Creator of heaven and earth came down. And then, that's the beginning of, I will write my Torah in your mind and in your heart. Understand what that means? That's the promise. That's the beginning of the promise. He said to Jeremiah,